This is the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. We're taking it back to the roots, getting dirty and covering all things off-road, because pavement, well, that's for It's gloves off, in your face, on the edge, and the way off-road should be. We're your definitive source for all things dirt.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Welcome to the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, locking it down with, one of the biggest off-road podcasts on the internet. Anyways, thank you guys for joining me. Episode 8, 9 of the Off-Road Edition, kind of going back to the roots of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. And we got a fun one today. I mean, we've had some banger interviews. Martelli Brothers, Joey D, Justin Lofton. That Ryan Arciero interview was off the hook. Marty Fioca. This week we're doing something a little bit different. A lot of my off-road familia are down in Baja, which means it makes it a little bit tough to get guests, right? You know, they got the big Baja 500 coming up. So what that means is we're doing a big off-road preview. Called my partner in crime, Tiffany Stone. Told her, hey, get on the show. We got to talk the month of June in off-road, because it is a stacked month. We've got not only do we have the Baja 500 kicking off the month, but we've also got Crandon. They call it Spring Crandon? I don't know. There's two Crandons within like 2 months, and one's like spring and one's fall. Makes absolutely no sense. But anyways, we've got Crandon this month, kicking off Lucas Oil Midwest Short Course League. We've also got Short Course. I know the event at Wheatlands has been canceled. There's supposed to be a makeup race. We got, Lucas National Series, obviously the Baja 500. We're heading towards Vegas to Reno on the Best of the Desert side of things. So, I don't know. We've got a lot going on in the world of off-road. So called Tiffany Stone, said, hey, get on the show. We got to talk about everything that's happening in the world of off-road. So this is kind of a June off-road preview today. Hopefully you guys like it. And we're going to kick things off. T-Stone and I, we ramble for quite a while on this one. So I think we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. We come out of that. It'll be T-Stone and I telling you guys all about what's happening in June in the world of off-road, right here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crandon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance, or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety. All right, so this week on the Full of Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, I'd like to welcome my normal partner in crime on the national show over to the podcast this week. T-Stone, welcome to the Full of Parts Off-Road Edition for the first time, making your debut here. So I guess, I don't know, is it congratulations, condolences? I don't know.
Is it a celebratory event? Congratulations. What are some other things that they always say, too, you know, when you congratulate people besides those? I don't know. It's one of those things, Jim. But I'm excited to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to have you, too. I know we kind of signed you up for some radio this year and told you we'd be bouncing you around. And, I don't know, we finally... Oh, this is kind of a fun show, though, because we kind of go back to the roots because, you know, it's just off-road only. We don't talk IndyCar or anything else in it. And it's funny because, I don't know, you and I have known each other for, I don't know, almost 2 years now, but... it's funny because you weren't, you know, like you've kind of been immersed into this whole off-road culture thing. And it was one of those, like, I guarantee you, like 6-7 years ago, you probably would have never figured this would have been your career path, right?
Pretty much. No, like about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was doing stuff with Mopar Motorsports. So NHRA and NASCAR before Dodge pulled out of everything. So that's kind of where I come from, just circle tracks, asphalt, you know, dealing with road courses and stuff like that. And then, like you said, about 4 or 5 years ago, I got immersed in this and it's kind of just been head full in. And I like it. And what's so awesome about off-road and desert and short course and different stuff like that is the terrain and the track or course, however you want, you know, whatever series we're in, changes every single lap. And that's what I think is the coolest variable about all of it, is how much that terrain changes.
Yeah, so I got to ask you, we're going to talk, we got a big off-road, the reason why we have you on this week is we got to talk about June and off-road. We got Baja 500 this weekend, we got Crandon, we got a lot of drama around Wheatlands, not good, like, just because we don't really know what's going on, but lots of that to talk about. But I got to ask you, like, you got to be torn a little bit. Detroit GP this weekend, you've been a fixture at the Detroit GP, but then there's also the Oregon Trail Rally, the Dirtfish Oregon Trail Rally. You feel a little torn here, T-Stone?
I do. I feel a little bit, not confused, but conflicted. I'm like, I really like the Detroit Grand Prix. It's the duel. It's a back-to-back. It's literally, you know, the week after, pretty much, from the Indy 500, so... You know, they geared up for that, and then they kind of just keep going in. But then it's like, I love getting into rally now, and I've never really been out to the Portland area, so I'm kind of excited. And that's a three-day event, which is the only one that we're having this season for ARA. And so it's kind of like, do I want 3 days in Detroit on Belle Isle, or do I want 3 days in Portland and Washington in the middle of the woods? And it's like, I want to do both. One thing that I do like about the Detroit Grand Prix is not only is IndyCar there, they bring IMSA, they also bring SST, they have a bunch of other things, and it's on Belle Isle, which means there's one way on and one way off. And honestly, unless you're working, you cannot drive onto the island. So they're busing people in. So it's kind of really cool, and it's really historic to have all of that stuff, especially for Chevy and GM in the Motor City.
Yeah, well, and Chevy obviously coming off the big Indy 500 win, it's definitely, definitely, you know, their hometown. It's a massive event for them. You know, that being said, we're talking Oregon Trail Rally. We're talking, Detroit GP. We've also got the 10,000 pound grill in the room, which is the Baja 500 this weekend also. So all of my friends down south of the border right now, all of your friends down south of the border, I kind of feel like we're left out here in the States. Like, we should be eating tacos and drinking beer in Mexico.
Well, and that's the thing. So, actually, I'm conflicted trifecta this weekend. There's the Baja 500, the Dirtfish Oregon Rally, and then the Detroit Grand Prix. And it's something that I want to do because, honestly, Jim, maybe me and you can just do this. I want to go pre-run Baja one time. If it's for the 500 or for the 1,000, I just want to go pre-run Baja. I want to see what those guys and girls are getting into. You know, like Sarah Price is down there with Erica right now, and they're there. You know, I'm watching Sarah's Instagram stories, and it's, she's like, all right, day five or day six of pre-running. I'm like, I know the 500 is long and you have to pre-run all of these things, but it's just, Jim, as a driver, how do you pre-run something and then know, honestly, maybe a day or two later, maybe even 6 hours later, it's completely different. Nobody else has pre-ran that. Like, how do you put that into your mind and take notes?
I've raced Baja plenty of times, and it's kind of an interesting, like, attack on it. You know, it's because weather changes, and I know, like, I actually talked to Troy Herbst when I was out at Charlotte. His son Riley Herbst was racing the ARCA race out there, General Tire 150. And so Troy and I talked, and I said, when are you going down to Baja, buddy? And he goes, man, he's like, all the rain, I think, I don't know if you saw, but Bryce Menzies put his pre-runner in a big old rain rut ditch. Robbie Pierce recently put his pre-runner in a ditch. So it's like all the rain destroyed it. And Troy's like, you know what? He's like, I'm going to pre-run at the last possible minute. So the course is as close to it will be on race time, you know what I mean, that you know, that it can be. But I think the people that go down early, and I've done it both ways, your first pass is generally like we know places that get bad, and depending on the weather, they can get really bad. So it's like silt beds, things like that. So the first time you're pre-running, it's not like you're really marking down, oh, here's a rock. You're kind of familiarizing with it. Okay, here is where we know is probably going to it's going to turn into a bad silt bed. People are going to get stuck. So you get to that. And you know, just because you've raced Mexico before and you know the terrain, you're like, all right, this is going to be a bad spot. So your first pass, you're looking, you're like, all right, so where are the lines where I can get around this? So you're out of the car, you're actually walking lines, you're looking at lines, you know, you're trying to figure out where you can go when things do, when quote unquote shit hits the fan. And we can say that because it's a podcast. I kind of like that. We can cuss on this one, T-Stone. You're like, oh, but, yeah. So I think the first pass is literally just familiarizing yourself with it, kind of figuring out where the bad spots are going to be. And then I think the next time you go, it's fine tuning that. It's like, all right, so now you're marking every corner, every bush, every rock. You know, I think the first pass is just familiarizing yourself with it. And I've gone down there where I've been able to pre-run the course twice. And then I've also been down there where I only had enough time to pre-run once, because it's expensive and a big undertaking. Just go and spend weeks down in Baja, right? And so the first, you know, when you can only do it once, then you're kind of doing a all-encompassing, you know, pre-run where you're kind of familiarizing yourself with things, but then marking the bad spots, and it's kind of stressful. People like Sarah who can just take a week off and go down there and do it multiple times, like that's. That's, I guess, the best possible way to do it, but not everybody's, you know, as fortunate as that. But yeah, if you haven't been to Baja pre-running, T-Stone, I like the 500 better than the 1,000. Not saying racing it, but I mean, just it's like you get everything you get with a 1,000, but it's all packed into a, you know, 500 miles, and it's logistically a lot easier. So like, I really enjoy the Baja 500. It's just not as massive and as grand. I guess you race when you obviously want the 1,000, but I think just for somebody experiencing Baja like you, like the 500 would be the way to go.
Well, and I always want to go, but this is what my dilemma's been. I've always had the Detroit Grand Prix the same weekend as the 500. So, you know, I don't have a PJ. I'm not Robbie Gordon status or Bryce Menzies status, and I don't have a private jet. So it's just like, I would love to do that. And I think one day I'm just going to have to choose. Am I going to go do this or am I going to go do that? Or, I don't know, Todd Robinson from Vision Wheel, he was telling me, Tiffany, go to San Felipe because it's 250 miles. You know, they race a few hours and you still get all the same experience. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the guys at Vision Wheel like San Felipe because the race is only 4 hours long, so it's a whole lot more partying. Just
that's put- what it is. That's okay. So Todd and Rhett and Jerry, they were just telling me, but not explaining why they like the San Felipe England better.
Yeah, but no, the thing about Baja, though, is like, you know, Memorial Weekend is kind of the big pre-running weekend down there. And that's traditionally, I'd go down there Memorial Weekend and I would pre-run, and then I'd go back to the States for 3 or 4 days and then go down like Thursday before the 500. So, you know, if you want to get pre-run and take all that in, like, you can still get Baja and, you know, and just do it Memorial Weekend when, you know, when you've got time off and there's not all these other crazy events going on at the same time, you know?
That is something we should do, Jim. You and I should just say, you know what? We don't need to race the 500 Memorial weekend, and we will podium number one.
We'll win the pre-run. No, I love pre-running Baja. I'm actually hoping to go back and race the 500 again next year. It's been like 10 years, you know. Just a lot of my sponsors didn't really care about Baja, and so I just kind of shelved that and just been doing United States racing. But it'd be fun to go back to the 500. So I don't know. Maybe, if we do it next year, I'll T-Stone, you're coming. You're coming.
Yes. Also, I'm really good at filming. I'm a great faux Instagram girlfriend. Like, I would take the best angles of you in the star car. Like, I can put that out there, Jim. And I know how to make tacos. I'm really good at workout together. So, I mean, those are some great things right there. Pre-workout, tacos, and faux Instagram girlfriend to take photos of you.
You're selling yourself here. You're just like, you've got your whole marketing deck ready to go. You're like, Jimmy, here, I want in. That's,
yeah. I know. And then be like, do I need to pay you to go? Because, and you're like, whatever. But I think that would be really, really cool one time just to head down to Baja and really see that, because you have people like, you know, Oren Anderson and Erica and stuff like that that are co-drivers. And this is where I think places, you know, that have off-road racing like Baja is where your co-driver is really, there's only so much you can remember as a driver. And we always say it, and I've always said it, it's the Mike Tyson, you know, quote, everybody's got a game plan until they get punched in the face or mouth or whichever way it goes. But that's what it is. And that's why I think you need a good co-driver like them to be like, oh shit, this is happening. We need, you know, I feel like co-driving is.
How'd that feel to throw out that shit bomb right there, T-Stone? Like, how did it feel?
This is good.
You didn't have to watch your mouth. You're like, yes, we get to just roll with it.
Well, what people don't understand, Jim, is me and I are actually friends. And so when we're out at like different events, those F-bombs, and maybe we'll throw a B-bomb in there too.
You know what?
Those come out a lot.
You know what I find funny? And this is where people are going, man, these two can just get on, just roll with things. And that's why I love having you on air. But it's, you know what I've always found interesting about on-air talent such as me and yourself? We cuss a lot. Like, we're in a bar, we're at an event, like, you know, and we cuss a lot. Like, F-bombs, S-bombs, like, we're drunken sailors, literally, and we don't even have to be drunk to do it. We just cuss a lot. But it's so funny because, you know, in general conversation, it's, you know, cussing all the time. We get on air, and it's like, I've never once in my entire life slipped up. I think I actually said crap one time on a live stream. That was the worst it got, which that's not bad at all. But, I find that interesting that somehow subconsciously we can shut off all the cussing to do on-air work. But then immediately as soon as the camera, they go cut, it's like, boom, back on. It's like F this, S that. You know, now, have you ever wondered how we do that? Because I never even, like, almost slip up. Like, I just can shut it off when I'm on air.
No, I completely agree with you. I've never done it. I think the only time I really have ever sworn is when I'm like, man, you just kicked ass, or I was replaying something that, or re-saying something that they said, like, you know, I was like, did you really, because one time I just said, because Johnny Greaves, I was interviewing Johnny, and I was like, you know, with the battles with Johnny and CJ, which obviously we're going to see with Spring Cranon coming up, you know, one time I was asking Johnny, I was like, Johnny, is CJ grounded now? And he's like, I don't know, I'm going to put his ass somewhere. I was like, did you say ass, Johnny? And he was like, yeah. And so those are sometimes, but yeah, most of the time I never swear, because once that red light goes on, or once you have a camera, it's always on. And my whole thing is, you know, sometimes we have microphones, or sometimes we wear lobs, which are, you know, wireless mics. And my whole thing is whenever I have a mic on, I pretend that microphone is on 24/7. Yeah. Like, unless I turn it off, I pretend it's on, because you never know. And I've heard some horror stories about how people have had their microphone on and didn't know it was recording and said a bunch of things that they did not want to say. So it's like, I will say stuff as long as there's no camera there or I'm not being recorded, just because, you know, there's a normal side and there's a professional side. You don't, unless you're known for that, which there are some drivers out there, you don't want to do that, because, you know, companies, unless they know you're a loose cannon, aren't going to necessarily hire you because they're like, shit, we don't know what's going to come out of his mouth or her mouth.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, and it does reverse. So, you know, when you're an on-air talent, I think you've got, you know, when you're doing live stuff, you've got producers in the truck, and people don't realize, like, we've got God in our ear basically 24/7 when we're on air, right? People, you know, like they're priming you, hey, this is coming up, you know, mention this happened, you know, and things like that. So it's like we've got God in our ear, so we've got some help. I mean, there are events where I'm just, you know, they hand you a mic and you just go and talk, right? But when you're doing a live stream or a live TV show, you've got a producer in your ear kind of coaching you along the way and things like that, you know? But what's funny is the producers have a tough job because they've got to keep the talent, you know what I mean, on track, and they're very calm in their voice, you know what I mean, and you know, and that, because they don't want to get you stirred up, because then you get emotional on the mic and then it just screws everything up. So, you know, they mute themselves when they talk to other people in the truck, right? Well, I had a producer one time who he forgot to mute himself. And he started yelling at somebody in the truck, and it was F this. I mean, he was literally, like, the noose was out, hanging people in trees. And I'm sitting there, and I almost start laughing live on the air. And then it was like he caught himself and muted it. And then, like, 10 seconds later, he was like, sorry about that. I didn't want you to hear that. But I was like, it was like literally the production truck was burning to the ground with this guy's language. And it was like, I was live on air just hearing this. And it was like, how do you keep your composure? Because it was so funny. And, you know, and that never happens. But I actually had a producer slip up and leave himself mic'd up, you know?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, what people see, they don't realize that when you're watching a TV show or a live stream show, especially a live stream show, there are so many things that go wrong sometimes that you as a viewer, as an audience, would never know. Because here's the thing, there are people behind the scenes that are helping making all these things go, so we don't look like a babbling idiot, or so we know what's going on, or we know all these things as well. And so I've had those things happen before, you know, and we always see it like on TMZ with, remember when Christian Bale, like, crazy, did you ever see that story?
No.
Well, he was filming Dark Knight, or he was filming one of those movies. This was probably like 10 years ago. And some person, because you're not technically allowed to have your phone filming on film sets because of, you know, the disclosure laws and, you know, not being able to let stuff out there. But Christian Bale went off and was like, what the F is going on? Are you effing stupid? Why do we need to redo this scene? Can somebody get this guy to shut the F up? I was like, okay. And, like, you kind of see the other side of people sometimes, but people don't realize that so much happens. Like, the trailer may be burning down, but you'll never see it because that's what happens when you hire professional talent.
Yeah,
you'll never see any of those things.
Well, and it is, honestly, I get humbled by that because, like, you know, let's take, say, Cranon, for instance, and I don't quite know how things are working, but from what I understand, it's me, you, and Brent are the three live stream team, right? So Brent and I will be in the booth, and you'll be doing podium announcing and pit reporting and stuff like that. And this is just the way I from what I understand, the way it's kind of be. And, you know, so there's three of us, right? And it's humbling to me because we're the face. But behind the scenes, there's no shortage of like 40 people working their ass off to make us the face. Like, to me, it's like knowing that there's 40 people going to war for me to look like a hero. Like, that's kind of humbling. You know what I mean? And I don't think a lot of talent looks at it that way, but I do. I'm like, man, these 40 people are busting their ass so I look good on, you know, talking or on camera. I'm like, that's humbling to have a crew of people, you know, literally going to war for you. Like, that's kind of crazy.
No, exactly. And that's how I feel. And that's how I've always approached it. And that's how I approach race teams and drivers and stuff like that. Like, some of the best drivers out there, and I'll put this out there, and I don't, he's a good driver. I don't like how he treats his team. I don't like how he does it. But Kyle Busch, NASCAR, you know, like, I know this is more off-road, but talking about that, like, I've seen Kyle Busch straight up put his entire team down, like, everybody be like, oh, your team. He's like, why? I want to fire my entire team. They did this, and this wrong. And then you have other people that are so humbling that are like, hey, I know I could not be here without my clutch guy. I know I could not be here without my, you know, entire team. I couldn't be here without my crew chief. And so it's the same way. It's so humbling for some drivers because, yeah, they're good drivers. They're the face. But they don't realize, what people don't realize is all the other people that work and bust their ass to make that one person shine. And that's when Kyle Busch lost, I lost a lot of respect for him when he put his team under the bus and threw them there. And just, it's like, dude, these people are leaving their families on their weekends. They're leaving holidays. They're missing events, birthdays, christenings, all these things to try to make you win and you look good and you can't even, you know, give them the credit they deserve.
Yeah, well, and I think even like off-road's even more so, especially when you start talking Baja, you know, we'll circle back to that. But, you know, it's like some of these trophy truck programs. I go down to Baja and I'm a small team and I've got 20, 25 people. Some of these teams have 70, 80 people down there for the 1,000, close to 100 people on their crew to make the 1,000 happen. Like, you start looking at those numbers, you know what I mean, and the people invested in that program, you know, to get, you know, say Bryce Menzies to the finish line first in Baja, there was literally an army of people, you know what I mean? And without, you know, any single one of those, that whole effort by Bryce Menzies would just be, you know, it's, you know, like building, you know, it's like building a wall of bricks, you know, and you pull one out or something like that. And it's just, you know, it's like a skyscraper. You pull one of the legs out, the whole thing's going to tumble, you know? And I think that's one thing I really appreciate about off-road and desert racing is, you know, especially down in Baja, is just the magnitude of it, every single person on the team counts, you know?
No, I do. And like you were saying, with teams and how big they are, and they got trophy trucks and chase trucks and all these other things. Like, I just saw Johnny Angel. Jim, you got $1 million I can borrow? I can buy a race team.
Yeah, I saw that.
Johnny's putting up his race team.
I haven't texted Johnny. I need to text him and see, hey, what's going on here, buddy?
Well, and then, you know, I saw people like Lauren Healy. He was like, you know, let me grab a quick bill out of the couch seats real quick. But that's the thing is, like, people don't understand how much money it does take, how much time, how much effort. Because Johnny said he was throwing in his two trophy trucks, two engines or three engines, transmissions. It's built by the Geyser brothers. You know, they have everything. Plus they got pre-runners. Plus they have the trophy or the chase trucks. Plus they got other things. And I'm just like, you know, what people don't realize is the time, obviously, the money and the commitment it takes to have a full race program. When you're as big as Johnny Angel, Rob McCracken, you know, Bryce Menzies, and even the up-and-coming people, Andy McMillan, you know, it takes a lot of time and money.
Yeah, it's no, it does. It's crazy. I look at my shop and my spares and the box trucks and things like that, you know, and it's like people think, you know, and I think people go, oh, I want to go desert racing, and I encourage everybody to do it, you know, and they've got these classes where it's kind of a run what you brung and things like that, but immediately get into it, and it's like, wow, people are like, I didn't realize it was this expensive. And, you know, it's like we always say, it's like you see that, you know, and people are like, oh, you know, that old class one car is $80,000. Or, oh, I can buy a Pro 2 for $60,000. You know, oh, yeah, you can buy an old Pro 2 for $60,000. You can go racing, but you're not going to race very long. You know, and it's like, it's kind of, it's crazy. You know, it's like, yeah, the race car is the cheapest part of the whole deal. You know, everything else. And then you start talking about crew and hotels and meals, and it's just, it's madness. So, yeah, but speaking of that, I know we talked a little bit about Baja. That's going on this weekend, but I know we're talking just kind of June. This is kind of a crazy month. We got I actually talked to Amanda from Proformance today. I know you talked to her yesterday. It sounds like the I guess the band is back together in a couple weeks, T-Stone.
I know. I'm so excited about that. She messaged me and she's like, Jim's got me for the summer to help up some stuff. And I was like, Amanda, maybe I should pay you some money too. And while I'm out there, just follow me around with my Jeep, or if I'm, you know, announcing or something, to take photos of me. Like, Amanda is a great friend of mine, and it is fun because, like you were saying, Jim, like, I've known Amanda for about 4 years. But this is the season with her. She's cool. And like last year, you came up on there and stuff. And so, like, that's what happens with road families, is like we start hanging out and talking and doing all these things. And I'm excited she's back. I'm excited Marty's feeling better, too, from Crandon Fioka. So it'll be cool. And this is the 50th anniversary of Crandon. And then for fall, at the end of the year, you know, in Labor Day weekend, that's when the big race is. So I'm excited for fall Crandon. Get to see the Greaves again. Get to see Keegan. He's fresh new dad. His sons, I think, are like 8 months old now, I think, or 6 months. It's crazy.
Well, and one thing I'm excited about, I totally lost my train of thought there. I had something I was going to say, and then, I get it. Yeah, seriously. That was crazy. Just completely lost my mind for a minute. No, but I think Midwest this year is going to be really exciting because you've got guys like Ryan Beat who are going to come back and run full-time in the Midwest. So you got some of these West Coast guys that are now going to the Midwest and running full-time and going to run all the events. So I think fields are going to be a little bit more stacked, and I think like that's just got me excited because a guy like Beat, he dominates on the West Coast. Take him to the Midwest. These are new tracks for him to learn, you know? And, you know, it's, I don't know, you know, you got the Climbins there. Beat's going to be running against them. And along, everybody's wondered how good are the Climbins, you know? They dominate the Midwest, but can they hang with the West Coast guys? Now you got one of the top West Coast guys moving to the Midwest to be like, hey, let's go, you know, let's bring it. So I think there's some pretty cool storylines heading into Midwest short course season.
And I know, I think this is what I've heard through the grapevine, that Dylan Poyton bought Reimer's old pro life. I think I've been hearing. So Dylan Poyton bought Cam Reimer's old pro life. Then I think Kyle Kleiman is moving up to pro two. And I'm not sure whose truck he bought. I think, was it Chad Hord's old pro truck? I don't know. I'm going to have to, there's so much happens in the off season, Jim, that it's crazy. And I feel like so many people, I don't know if it's just me, not that they keep everything hush hush, but when they're working on new developments or who's moving into a pro two or who's moving into this, I think they keep it quiet until, you know, the first weekend or whatnot, just so people don't know what they're running. And I know that the Greaves are running and pushing Yamahas a little bit more and doing stuff like that. So I'm excited to see the growth of the side-by-sides really happen in the Midwest, just because obviously they're a big staple in the desert racing, but Yamaha's coming up a little bit more. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to, I want to see one of those new Honda Talons out there. That's what I want to see in the side-by-sides, is a Honda Talon and how that's going to hold up, because it's completely different setup than what a Can-Am is or even the Razors.
Yeah, and I know that Honda has, I talked to a very high level off-road team, and they are actually building some Honda. It's a factory effort for desert racing next year. So I know Honda will be involved in 2020 with a factory desert racing UTV effort. What I don't know is if they will, what their presence is going to be in short course. I haven't heard a lot on that yet, so it should be, I don't know. And that's the thing about, like, the first Crandon, like, you know, it's for Midwest. Like, you kind of, everybody shows up, and then you go, okay, so this is where everybody's at. This is how this thing's going to play out this year, right? Because, you know, it's all rumors and swirling, and, you know, it's like Corey Winter. I hear he's coming back to the Midwest. He's got pro lights. He's got pro twos. I don't know what the hell Corey's going to run in the Midwest. I just have heard he's coming. So it's like, you know, there's just so much, you know, swirling around, and it's like, I feel like Crandon's where we finally get to see how things line up, you know?
Exactly. And what we were just talking about, Wheatland is supposed to happen at the end of June, but then they had that huge tornado go through.
Yeah, so, heartbreaker.
You know, we don't even know where they're going to race. And it was a full points race for the West Coast, but then they invited, you know, the Midwest guys to come out, just like the Midwest guys invite the West Coast guys to come out at the Labor Day weekend. So I was really looking forward to being able to, what we've chatted before at the beginning of the year. It's really cool to see a collaboration West Coast, Midwest, to kind of see that. And now it's happening mid-season rather than just at the end of the season too. So it's really cool. I'm excited to see how a lot of that stuff's going to turn out. Fall Crandon's going to be that. We all have the sportsmen. You know, I'm looking forward to Michael Meister coming back in Super Buggy. He's a great driver and one of the most humble people I've ever interviewed.
Yeah.
Him and his girlfriend, Caitlin, she's just the cutest thing. They're like the cutest thing. And you get guys that are drivers like that, they're so humble, so nice. And then you put them in the Super Buggy and then they just kick ass. And you're like, wow, okay. And it's cool to see the two, you know. So I'm excited to look for that and just talk to a lot of the people that I haven't had a chance to in the off season.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Michael Meister, and kid is, like you said, like you would walk up to him, and he's just the nicest guy. Like you would never think that somebody like that, when he puts the helmet on, becomes like this aggressive animal. Like literally, the guy just destroys everybody in you know, in Super Buggy, and you would never know that because he's literally one of the nicest humans you can meet, you know?
Exactly, and you know, they own Michael Meister Logging, And so they're loggers and stuff. And so he's doing all these things. And just like the Freemans, they work with Ponzi and they have their logging. And so it's like you have these nice upper Wisconsin, upper Michigan guys. And like you said, they're just badasses once they put that helmet on and the green flag goes. And it's cool because even when he flips or even when he gets second, which rarely happens, he's just so calm about it and so nice about everything, too. He's like, you know, that was a really good race. I could have done things better. Me, I'd be like, oh, I'm so mad at myself. What'd I do? Why'd I take this turn? And he's just calm. It's cool to interview them. And that's what I miss about the sportsmen. It's, you see how much passion, how much love, how much time and effort they put into this because they have normal 9-to-5 jobs. And then they kind of move their way. And it's cool to see Super Bundy get put into the main event, too, because they have such a good stack of drivers.
Yeah, there's some great Super Buggy racing that happened last year. That's, you know, it's one of those, everybody wants to talk about the big horsepower trucks and, you know, and things like that. But actually, you look back at some of the races, like the truck races, you know, especially like Pro 4. I mean, you know, it was a bit boring last year in the Midwest. You know, it was Johnny and CJ show. You know, Cranon aside, but Super Buggy, there was some great racing every single round. I mean, it was a dogfight, you know, and so you get away from like the big, you know, I hate to say premier because then I feel like that the UTVs and, you know, and Super Buggy and stuff like that, it kind of takes it away. But I mean, truth is like Pro 2, Pro 4, that's what people kind of show up for. But some of the best racing in short course doesn't happen in Pro 2 and Pro 4, happens in the divisions right below those.
Exactly, like stock truck, super stock truck, you know, Nick Visser putting out there and stuff like that. He's a great driver. And then what's really cool is Cody Conrad was a sportsman. Then he's moved up to, I think he's going back to Pro 2. So that's what I've been hearing, that Cody Conrad's going to race Pro 2. But it's cool to see that because, you know, you go to stock truck and super stock truck, and that's right below Pro Light and being able to move it up there and being able to see some of those guys really move up. I know Rupel's out this year. He's not racing, but seeing some of the newer guys come up, and I just know that somewhere along the line, there's going to be somebody that comes up and we're just like, holy shit, we didn't even know that you were going to be in a Pro Light. And now you're here at Cranon. So
yeah,
I think I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in a few weeks.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think, you know, you mentioned Wheatlands, and I haven't heard anything from Lucas at all, but should be interesting to see what happens there because I know that's become one of their big marquee premier events. You know, obviously heartbreaker that they're going to have to rebuild a good portion of that racetrack there. But I don't know. I don't know if they're – what the replace – I know they're going to be running that weekend. I just don't know where, what the replacement is. I think everybody is kind of up in the air right now, right?
Well, it is, and, like, the sad thing is if you move it further west, it was already a hike for the guys to come out a little bit, you know, because most of the stuff is either in Minnesota, Wisconsin, or northern Michigan in the UP. So it makes it a little easier for the regional guys right there, especially the sportsmen. You know, Wheatland's a little bit farther. It's, you know, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours, 12 hours, depending on where you're coming from. So I hope that they don't move it further west or anything. I was thinking, like, you know, because if it's Lucas Oil, I know Indianapolis is right there. I mean, that's a little further east, but that's kind of close. Or maybe what if they did something in Chicago?
Chicagoland.
Yeah, before. Yeah.
You know, and that was the Torque days, but that was actually, you know, that's actually a good idea. And that was always... It was always highly attended by fans. Like that was a good event. That's one of those like you would love to see back at some point because that was an amazing event.
I think it's called Route 66 Dirt Oval or 66 Oval Route. I don't know. Either way, I know we've done a few races there. 2017, we raced in Chicago, actually right around this time in May. So. I know about that. I think that would be a great track because it's still kind of close enough for the guys to come down, still technically Midwest, without having to really go far east like Indianapolis, and it's still kind of close to Wheatland. So I think that they should do Route 66 because if you go to Prim, if you go back out to Glen Helen, it's too far west still. It's not really, not regional, but it's not including the Midwest guys that I know that they wanted to showcase.
Yeah, well, come on, be real. You just want to be able to drive your Jeep somewhere a little bit closer.
Yeah, I've been driving my Jeep to Crandon.
I know. I can't wait. We got some shenanigans planned.
I know. I'm going to get there Thursday probably, like we were chatting about, and then we can go take the Jeep out on maybe Friday or figure out what's going on and going like that. It's like, it's a catch-22. It's like, do I drive my Jeep or do I drive my 300? My 300, I can drive 90-plus and be okay and get about 30 miles per gallon and not feel like I'm in a sail. Now, if I drive my Jeep, I'm getting about 16 miles per gallon and feel like a sail, and I really don't go over 75 miles per hour. So it's a catch-22. Which one do I want?
Yeah, I don't know. It's I think if you're going to Crandon, you got to have the Jeep, though. Like, I'm just saying, like, the 300 just doesn't, it doesn't work for me at Crandon. Like, nothing against your 300, but yeah, Crandon, you got to have the Jeep. Come on, T-Stone.
No, we got to go on to our secret exclusive TV talent only trails, also known as the Ultra 4 track. But hey.
Yeah. So what else you got going on? I know this week I'm actually going and shooting some video with our friends at Rigid out in Phoenix, kind of a commercial. So kind of looking forward to that. Should be kind of fun out there in the desert. What else you got going other than Oregon Trail? What's after that? I guess just Crandon, right?
Yeah, Oregon Trail. And then I got the next week off, just doing some things with the Jeep. I kind of want to try to hit up Silver Lake Sand Dunes. I want to take the Jeep out some more because I'm going to be changing a lot of things this summer, getting ready for Trail to SEMA again at the end of the year. But yeah, just doing that, and then I got Crandon, and then Idaho, and then whatever Faux Wheatland will be for at the end of the month. But yeah, it's back-to-back, jam-packed, and you know, just kind of doing all that stuff. I do want to come back out to Arizona one time when I don't have to work, Jim, and then we could go play around in some razors and shoot some video or something.
Yeah, you want to do that in the fall. It's too damn hot here right now. Everything gets parked in the summer. But I do actually, Street Bike Tommy, he's coming out this fall, it sounds like, to do some razor rides. And I don't know, have you ever met Street Bike Tommy?
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah. The guy has, you know, been Travis Pastrana's right-hand man for forever for, you know, all the shenanigans. So, no, I think he's going to come out and do some razor stuff this fall and things like that. And we're going to go do some trail riding and things like that. So, maybe we'll get you to come out when Tommy's here or something. We're going to do some filming and just have some fun. I don't know. When Tommy's around, you can't not have fun.
No, I'm excited. And then my whole goal this year, Jim, that I really want to try to do, I want to do things that I've never done before. Like, I really, like, if somebody's like, Tiffany, drive this, I'm like, okay, let's try that. Tiffany, do this. Okay, let's try that. You know, like, I just want to drive as much as I can and get myself behind so many different things and just drive. That's really kind of what my goal is. So I'm down. I'm down for whatever.
Yeah, you're down. So I don't know. We got anything else to talk about as far as Baja and all these other events coming up? I know you're heading out to Oregon Trail, and that'll be a fun one. My favorite stage rally of the year, that one. And I don't know, New England's pretty fun too. But I don't know. It's going to be kind of a crazy month. I know I've got Wheatlands and that, and I just got done at Charlotte with Arca Race, and was at Indy before that. So I'm coming off a bender. You're getting ready to jump into one. So I don't know. I think we'll have a lot to talk about in the next couple of weeks.
No, yeah, I'm so excited. Maybe, I was going to say, you're going somewhere else. You're going down to Ridge. I was like, maybe you should come up to Portland this weekend and hang out. But I forgot you're going to shoot your commercial in Ridge for Rigid.
Yeah, they've got some new lights. I can't even talk about them yet. But they've got some new lights coming out, and they needed a vehicle, and I had it. And then it was like, oh, well, let's just put you in this commercial we're going to shoot in this launch video. And I'm like, works for me. So, yeah, it's one of those where it just went from nothing to a big deal in a very short amount of time.
Awesome.
So those are the fun ones.
Awesome. Yeah, they just sent me my rock lights. I'm going to be installing my rock lights soon.
Did you do colors? Did you do red?
Yes, I got. Oh, of course I did red, Jim. Of course I did red.
I was going to say it.
Well, yeah.
I love those. I had them on one of my razors, and you flip the switch at night, and it's just, it glows underneath the car. It's so rad.
Yeah, so I have the red ones because I have a 20-inch light bar by Rigid, a 20-inch Rigid light bar in the front that's incorporated into my bumper by Crawltech. Same thing with my rear bumper. So I have a front and rear bumpers are from Crawltech. They're here in Michigan. Love working with them. I have the new Blaze bumpers on there. And then Rigid has the 20-inch and the 30-inch light bar. And Brett from Rigid, he was like, Tiffany, I found a 50-inch light bar. Would you like that? I was like, already have a 20, I already have a 30, I'm about to have some rock lights. I was like, I don't need any more lights. And he's like, awesome, but like, I love those, so I'm excited to put those on there and everything. But I always see the meme that says light bar before lockers. And I always laugh because there are so many people who have light bars, but they don't have lockers on their Jeep. I was like, I don't think the light bars are going to help you crawl up some rocks, guys. I think we need some lockers.
But you'll look good, though.
So I stayed away from the 50 light bar. I might change some things. You never know. It's just, to me, it's like, I like them, but I just don't want to be so bright because you can know this. When we're at King of the Hammers at nighttime and people have all their light bars, I'm like, I cannot see anything. Like, you can see, but I can't see when I'm driving towards you, so... Well, I like Rigid. They're awesome.
Well, and the funny thing, too, is it's just like from a competition standpoint, there's a happy medium with lights and dust and things like that. So it's like when you see somebody with like 3 million lights on their car, it's kind of crazy because depending on where your lights are on the roof or on the bumper and depending on how much dust and things like that, like we're constantly flipping certain lights on and off to be able to see. Because like your upper light bar, those things are crazy, crazy good when it's crystal clear out at night. But if you just get the just a remote amount of dust, that, you know, light bar across the top of your windshield, it's useless. So you have to flip that off because literally the dust just becomes a wall in front of you and you can't see anything. So you flip that off and then you run your lower lights. You know what I mean? But so there's like this happy medium you play with lights. And I laugh because you can tell people who really don't know what the hell they're doing when they've got like 3 million lights mounted all over their car. And I'm like, well, half those are useless. You know, that's all show and no go, but it is funny because you get into the, like, lighting technology and like, there's a point with lights where there is too much. And I don't think people realize that.
No. And that's where in my Jeep world, they all just call them ball crawlers. My whole thing is I run a 35 inch tire, but I still have a 17 inch wheel. So I'm running a smaller wheel that gives me much more tire. And I'm looking at these people, and I have friends that joke. They're like, Tiffany, put 20s on your Jeep. I'm like, are you kidding me? How am I supposed to crawl stuff on 20s? I was like, my Jeep's not a trailer queen. I drive her back and forth, West Coast, East Coast, all around. And so it's like I need a good tire. And that's the same thing, too, is like you can either have too much light, not enough light, and like, I've looked at Jeeps before. I'm like, what does that light go to? Like, literally, if you have lights on your A-pillars up front on both sides, that's great. But if you have your front light bar on, your rear light bar, and your top light bar, and your side lights, your rock lights, it's like, what can you see? Your disco ball.
Yeah. My favorite is when they've got all the lights, and then they're not actually wired in, and they're just there.
Oh, my goodness.
That happens more often than not, though. People mount the light bars, and then it's all show and no go because you look, and it's like, yeah, they're not wired into anything.
Well, I have 4 true aux buttons that are built into my Jeep. So I have 1 through 4 that's a standard factory, and I love them. So my front one does the front light bar, my rear, does a rear light bar. Plus, I have that fridge freezer, too, so it's cool. And what I like about my front light bar, it still has the red light. So they'll match my rock lights. And like we were talking, if there's a low visibility of dust, those red lights will help cut through them too. Because sometimes, like we talked about in Baja, when it goes so late, you've got so much dust in front of you that the bright lights just white everything out and wash it, where the red lights actually help you see through the dust.
Yeah, no, completely agree. And that's a whole nother thing. Like when you get into blue lights, amber lights, red lights, like they all have certain, certain uses and certain like benefits and certain conditions and weather. And like, I don't know, that's a whole, like you and I should do like a lighting podcast or something. Get Brett from Rigid on here with us or something just to talk lights, because we could go all day with that conversation, I think, for sure.
But yeah, I'm excited. Hopefully you and I can start doing some stuff when it's not so hot in Arizona. Maybe for Trail to SEMA, I'll come out a week or so early. We can hit up some trails, go down to Rigid, talk to them as well.
Yeah, well, and Camp Razor at Glamis will be right before SEMA and stuff like that. And so, I'm sure there's a ton we could do. Go get you in the dunes at Glamis would be fun.
Well, you're right, Jim. I've actually never been to the sand dunes in the side-by-side Razor, Maverick, Can-Am, anything you want to call it. I've never done it. I've only been to the sand dunes in Michigan in my Jeep. So is it different? I mean, obviously it's different, but I would be so scared to be in a Razor. I don't know. It would scare me a little bit more. I feel like I would just be more nervous at Glamis. I don't know.
Glamis is overwhelming when you go on a big weekend like Thanksgiving or Halloween or like New Year's. Like, I don't like Glamis on those weekends. Hate it, actually. There's too many people. There's a lot of idiots out there. There's a lot of drunks driving out there. Like, I hate it. I love Glamis in the middle of the week or on the off weekends. Like, go the weekend after Halloween, then it's great because there's like half the amount of people, you know? It's like, I feel safe and comfortable with me and my driving, but you never know when some idiot's going to come flying off a sand dune drunk or something like that and hit you. And like, to me, that's where it's like, I get, like, I don't really, when I go out there for Halloween, like, I'll go and I'll cruise around, but I don't do anything crazy just because I know there's so many crazies out there, you know? It's just, it's one of those, I don't feel like I can go and just really have fun and let loose when there's that many people, you know, around and it's just that congested and claustrophobic, you know?
I feel the same exact way. This weekend, I won't be able to be there because of ARA, but they're doing Jeep Beach Invasion for Silver Lake Sand Dunes. And what's, for your flags out in Glamis, what's the height or the minimum height that they need to be? Is there any minimum height, or do you just use whatever flags that you have?
I don't think there's a minimum height. If there is, I haven't really seen it enforced. I know you have to have a flag, and I'm sure if it's, you know, it's not like they get out a measuring tape. If you had one that was 1 inch, you know, 1 foot tall, you're going to get in trouble, you know. But I think if you're six feet, you know, whatever, you know, I think it's one of those they eyeball it. Oh, he's got a flag. It looks pretty close. You're good, you know. It's not like they've got the measuring tape out.
No, see, well, at Silver Lake Sand Dunes, they have to be a minimum of 10 feet.
Okay.
So that's how tall the dunes are, and there's like six or seven of them. So, like, you drive in, and when you first drive in, the first dune that everybody hits is to the left, and then, like, it's a drive, and then everybody kind of makes their way in. Obviously, there is a driving pattern, a directional pattern to drive in. You can't drive backwards on the dunes. You have to, once you start, you kind of got to go one way, but it's six or seven dunes, and I've seen some people, like, you have to make it, like, just not let go on the throttle, and you just got to kind of have a nice finesse about it. But, yes, 10 feet for your flags just to be safe. That's how big the dunes are. And the coolest thing is it backs up right to Lake Michigan. So between, you know, Illinois and Wisconsin, Lake Michigan right there. And so it's really cool. So you have the dunes, and then you have the lake. So it's nice, and it's fresh water, so you don't have to worry about sharks.
That's always a good thing. Sharks, yes.
Yeah, we call it salt-free life up here. Salt-free life. So you don't have to worry about sharks.
Sharks. I don't like sharks. I prefer not to get myself any kind of predicament with those things. But T-Stone, always fun catching up. I don't know what the hell we've rambled on for here for almost 50 minutes now, but hopefully the listeners can take something out of it, because I know you and I always have a good time chatting.
They do. They're probably not going to take anything away and be like, except, oh, Michigan's shark-free and salt-free. That's the whole thing up here. We're the biggest Great Lakes, and we're shark-free. Everybody, like, sits for a minute, and they're like, shark-free? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, people. So, anyways, there you go.
Shark-free that you know of. I'm just saying, those Great Lakes are big and deep. Like, I bet you there's some stuff down in the bottom of those that nobody's ever seen before. Like, I don't know. They're big enough. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to go looking for something in the Great Lakes. Just would not. Sorry. Just no. That's a hard no.
Yeah. That is a hard pass. Yeah, yeah. They're pretty deep, and so you never know. Maybe Loch Ness Monster's cousin lives there or something like that.
Yeah. Who knows? All right, Tiff. Thanks for coming in or coming on the show today.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a ride. Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount. And that's all we've got this week on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor. Thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, please go to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the show, leave a rating, review. Much appreciated for those of you who do. I am at JimBeaver15 on social media. Check us out on the web, downanddirtyshow.com, where we're dropping all kinds of daily, new, fresh content right there on the website. Man, we've also got a couple of social media accounts at Dirt Daily or at Dirt Daily Media on Instagram, at Down and Dirty Show on Instagram, in addition to all of mine. And make sure and check out our Facebook group too, where we've got all kinds of rad content dropping. I don't know, we're just a content machine. Anyways, yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. Always fun with T-Stone, and big thanks to Four Wheel Parts and Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, and all of our amazing partners here on the show. We will see you guys next week right here on the Four Wheel Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.